just for the reminder that we do have something to be joyful about, that we can praise God anyhow. We can praise God in the middle of trouble. We can praise God in the middle of our pain. We can praise God in the middle of trials and tribulations. We can praise God in the middle of even especially joyful times. Amen. That there should always be a praise on our lips no matter what we're going through, because we don't have to look like what we're going through. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I welcome you to the Woman to Woman and Woman to Man show. This is Pastor Prophet Sis Rebecca Simmons, and I thank God for the opportunity to be here on today. God truly is good and worthy to be praised. I love him. I love him. I love him with everything in me. I love him. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He saved my life. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He took away my pain. He gave me a brand new day and a brand new beginning. And for that, I am grateful. I am just so grateful to the Lord for stepping into my life when he did and doing what he did in my life. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to talk about dealing with past pain so that we can embrace today's victory. Dealing with past pain so that we can embrace today's victory. And I want you to do me a favor, get on the phone, call somebody and let them know that the Woman to Woman and Woman to Man show is on the air. And we are talking today about dealing with pain, past pain, the pain of the past, so that we can move forward and that we can embrace what's happening on today. What's happening on today? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. Hallelujah, and be glad in it. I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing on today. I pray that you're rejoicing on today, no matter what's going on. I want to encourage you today that everything really is going to be all right. Amen. Everything really is going to be okay. If you continue to put your trust in God, continue to look towards heaven, knowing that that's where your help is going to come from. If you continue to believe the word of God that has been spoken over your life and the word that has been spoken through the pages of your Bible, then I guarantee you success. I guarantee you victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a scripture on my mind today as I was thinking about coming on today. The Lord put this topic upon my heart to come and talk about today, and I had a scripture on my mind that resonated with me, and it's a familiar scripture coming from the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and starting with verse 10, the scripture reads, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Amen. And that is the scripture from Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 10, going all the way down to verse 17. And Jesus here is in the synagogue, and he sees a woman there who has been bound by an evil spirit for 18 years. And how many of you know that 18 years is a long time to be crippled, a long time to be bound up, a long time to be in a state of infirmity where you cannot lift yourself up or walk straight or function like other people without this reminder of your infirmity. And God wants to deal with that one today, because if the truth were to be told, some of us are still carrying around issues that immobilize us, issues that are creating infirmities in our lives that are preventing us from moving forward to be, do, and have all that God has created for us to be, do, and have. And I want to talk about that today. I want us to deal with that today. I want us to begin to face our fears and face our issues and face our pain, so that we can be free, so that we can be loose from anything that hinders, from anything that stops us. And there are many things that can hinder us from moving forward. So I just want to begin to deal with that on today, and as the Lord leads, maybe next week and, you know, maybe the week after. On the 28th, we're blessed. We have a guest coming. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson is going to be our special guest on today, and we're excited about that, just really excited about her coming. And she wrote the book, I Am Leah, and it's going to tie right into this topic that we're talking about on today, you know, being loose from our infirmities. You know, a lot of you out there are mighty in the Lord, you know, just mighty, just, and I feel God right now, just, you know, just really walking strong in the anointing of the Lord. But the devil is just so busy that there are times, I'm certain, when he comes to try to remind you of your past, when he comes to try to stick that dagger in your heart to make you believe that you're not really healed, that you're not really delivered, that you haven't really been set free. Yeah, but I'm here to tell you today that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and he doesn't even know how to tell the truth. The Bible says that the truth is not in him. The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. So that's all he does is lie. You know, and we're daughters of Abraham, as the scripture says in Luke chapter 10. We're daughters of Abraham. Jesus said, does not this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound up for these 18 years, does not she deserve the right to be free? Does she not, you telling me about the Sabbath? You know, so many times people will try to put you in the box, and they'll try to keep you in their box, and they'll try to tell you you shouldn't be crying, or you shouldn't be feeling a certain kind of way, or you shouldn't be praying about that thing again. After all, haven't you prayed about that over and over and over again? If Jesus is going to hear you, he heard you the first time. God heard you the first time. And I'm here to say, don't let anybody put you in the box as far as your healing is concerned. If you have to cry, cry. If you have to shout, shout. If you have to scream, scream. You know, as a matter of fact, shouting and screaming may be your best release, because sometimes you have feeling so bottled up on the inside that you have to cry, that you have to shout, that you have to scream. Because if you keep it inside, then the devil will use that to try to throw you into depression. And I come against the spirit of depression right now in the name of Jesus. I bind up that spirit right now, and I cast it back into the pit of hell. That spirit of depression that's trying to come, that's associated with your pain, the pain that you've been carrying for so long. And that's why God said today that he wants you to be set free. He wants you to be free in Christ and free indeed. Now, I'm not casting groans or throwing stones because you're still hurting. That's crazy. Let me tell you something. I hurt sometimes. We all hurt sometimes. That's not what God is talking about. What he's talking about is the pain that goes so far back that what happens is that every time we get some new disappointment or new hurt, new pain, that it piles up on top of the old stuff. and it begins to stockpile in our lives so that it now becomes spiritually stunting, spiritually debilitating. And now we're not able to move forward because of all of this stuff that has been piled on top of each of other stuff. And God says, I want to get to the root. My God, I felt that. God wants to get to the root of that issue. He wants to get to the root of the pain and begin to totally, totally annihilate that root that has been planted in your spirit by what happened so long ago. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. You know, and I read that scripture, not necessarily to preach from it, but to let it be a point of reference to let you know that you can be in church and still hurting. To let you know that you could still be hurting. You could still be hurting because you feel like, okay, I'm in church now and I can handle this. They say that I can do all things. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that is true. But God does not want us to use scripture to cover up pain. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the scripture is not for us to just begin to quote out of our mouth. The Bible says in the book of Joshua that we should let not this book of the law depart from our mouths, that we should meditate on the scripture day and night. And it says, as we do this, then we will make our way successful, then we will have good success. So what the Bible is not saying is for us just to memorize verses of scripture and then just quote them. No, God wants that word to be the living word in your life. God wants the word to be the living word in my life. So in other words, we got to live this thing out. You, woman of God, you have to live this thing out. And for the man of God, you have to walk this thing out. I know it hurts. And that's what I'm dealing with. I want to deal with the fact that it hurts. I want to deal with the processing of the emotion. Because in order for us to be able to allow God to heal the pain, we must first acknowledge that there is pain. We must first acknowledge that there is pain. So today, you know, some of you out there, just like the woman sitting in the synagogue, and God has sent Jesus into the synagogue to say, you know what? I see your pain, woman of God. I see your pain, man of God. And I came to minister to that pain. I came to deliver you from the pain. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I believe I need to pray. I believe I need to pray because I think God is going to go deep. You know, I think he's going to go a little bit deep. And we just need to pray. So let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify you on today. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your due consideration unto us, O God. When we didn't even love ourselves, that you loved us. When we were living our lives for the devil, Lord, you still loved us. When we didn't know you, O God, you knew us, and you had your hand upon us. And Lord, you were thinking of us. And we just thank you, and we praise you, hallelujah, for that, O God, just for thinking about us and loving us when we didn't even love ourselves. So, Lord, I praise you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you for those who have tuned in, oh God, to the Women to Women, Women to Man show on today, God. I thank you for those, Father God, who are even hurting on today, God, that today, God, today is the day that you will bring total healing to them, that you will begin to open the dams, oh God, and open the dams that have been holding up their destiny, to break down the dams, oh God, that have been stopping them from moving forward to be, do, and have everything that you called them to be, do, and have. Lord, I ask that you heal my sister, that you heal my brother, oh God. Lord, help them to deal with this thing called pain that's trying to wreak havoc in their lives, oh God. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you because I declare and consider it already done change lives, save souls, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, oh God. Hallelujah. Give hope to the hopeless, encouragement to those who are discouraged. I bind up the spirit of depression and discouragement. In the name of Jesus, I come against every demon on attack today. Every demon on attack coming against the minds and the hearts of your people and the destinies of your people. And I declare victory in their lives on today. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, God loves you. He has such a great plan for your life. And the Bible clearly tells us that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God said, Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have that life to the fullest, have that life more abundantly. And that word for life is Zoe. Anytime that Jesus talked about life, he was talking about Zoe. The Greek for life is Zoe, and that means overflowing. That means the blessed life, a good life, a life without any hindrances, a life without anything lacking, nothing lacking, nothing broken. And that's what God is saying on today. I don't want you broken, my daughter. I love you too much for that. I don't want you broken, my son. I want you healed. And I just thank God today that he's healing us, you know, he's healing us. And the pain from your past doesn't have to be 18 years old. See, we can have something happen to us, and it will stimulate something in us, an emotion of hurt, an emotion of anger, an emotion of this disappointment, and that thing can begin to take a root in us, and then it can begin to grow, and out of that comes bitterness. Out of that comes, again, I talked about depression. Out of that comes fear, where the devil now begins to try to create this whole demonic stronghold over our lives, you know, to try to stunt us, stunt your growth. See, if the devil can stop you from growing in Christ, then he can stop you, he can prevent you from coming to the fullness of who you were created to be. See, there's a fullness, there's a place, there's a promised land that God is taking you to, and the devil's job is to stop you from getting there. Amen. And that's why he will allow people, he will allow circumstances, he will allow different difficulties to come, sickness, all of this to come into your life so that you can begin to look away from God and look away from the word of God and begin to look at the false evidence appearing real, the fear. Begin to look at the disappointment. Begin to look at the mirage that the devil has placed in front of you. Because remember, the devil can't do anything new. He can't create anything. All that he can do is take what God has already put in place and distort it, try to distort it. And that's what he does. He takes God's truth and he tries to distort it. And that's what I'm telling you. And then what happens is when we begin to receive the lies of the devil, now we become like this lady. We become like this lady in the synagogue, bent over in the church, going to church every week, but bent over with a spirit of infirmity. I can't get it together. I can't stop this pain. I can't be what God called me to be. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking. I cannot stop whoremongering. I cannot stop sleeping around. I cannot stop shacking up. I cannot stop overeating. I can't stop putting these toxins in my body. And the devil creates a stronghold, but God. Somebody out there, I mean, I felt like shouting right there, but God, greater is he who's on the inside of you than he who is in this world. But God, the devil has a plan, but God has a better plan. The devil thinks he has you, but God says you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The devil has been wreaking havoc in your life, but God says he'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you a garment of praise for the robe of mourning. He'll give you praise for your mourning. My God. David said, my foot had almost slipped. He said, but your word kept me. God will keep you. God will keep you from stumbling. God will keep you from falling. And when you do stumble and when you do fall, God will pick you up again. He will pick you up out of the pit. He will stand you on solid ground. He will clean you off, my God. He will clean you off, not just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going. But God will pick you up when you can't pick yourself up. He will clean you up when you can't dust yourself off. And God will keep your feet moving in the right direction and keep your feet from falling. God is able. God is able to heal you. God is able to deliver you. God is able to use you for his glory. God is able to bring you joy. When you think that there's no hope, God says he's the hope above every hope, my God. God, through Jesus, has given us a hope that's above every hope. The devil is a liar. I came to tear down any strongholds that he has built up in your mind, in your life. I have come to tear down the plan of the devil. I have come to tell you that you can make it, that you can heal from the pain of the past. Yes, it happened. Yes, that thing happened. You were molested. Yes, you were abused. Yes, you were abandoned. Yes, you were violated. Yes, yes, you were forgotten about. Yes. Yes, you were mistreated. Yes, yes, all of this stuff happened. Somebody dropped the ball on you. Your mama dropped the ball. Your mother dropped the ball on you. Your father dropped the ball on you. Somebody dropped the ball because they had issues. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you the truth about your mother. Let me tell you the truth about your father and the reason that they couldn't be what they needed to be in your life. Let me tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Your mother and your father, if they did not do what they were supposed to do pertaining to you, it's because they were under stronghold from the devil and they had issues. It's not because they didn't love you. It's not because they didn't want you. It's not because they didn't thank God for you. It's just that they had issues. They had issues that they were dealing with, and these issues took them out. Some of them never recovered. And these issues dominated their lives, and still, for us who still have parents in the land of the living, these issues are still dominating some of our parents' lives, that they have issues. They're rejecting you because they have issues. It's not because you're less than. It's not because you're not worthy. It's not because you're not wonderfully and fearfully made. You're not worthy of honor and respect and love. Especially the love of your parents, is because they have issues. They have issues. They never got healed. They are like this woman in the synagogue who was bent over for 18 years. And God is saying today, you need to know the truth. And that's why he sent me here to just begin to just talk about some of the things that will hinder us from moving forward, even in ministry. God wants you to be victorious in every single area of your life. It's God's plan for you to be victorious in every single area of your life, and that includes the ministry that he has called you to, whether it's a pulpit ministry or a street ministry or a marketplace ministry, wherever it is that God has called you, he wants you to be effective, and that's why you have to be healed. Not only that, but God loves you too much to leave you broken, busted, and disgusted. God wants you healed. God wants you healed. Amen. And I want you healed. Amen. I want you healed. Amen. Because God did it for me. I remember, and I'm going to take calls soon. I remember being so messed up. You know, even this morning, it's crazy, but I'm laying in my bed this morning as I got up. And I'm laying in my bed this morning, and I start thinking about something way back in my past, 40 years ago. I'm 50 years old. And I started thinking about something that happened when I was 10. When I was 10 years old, I was molested. And I started thinking about this, you know, and I started thinking about, I didn't block it out this time. Normally when the thoughts come, I just try to block them out. No, I don't try to block them out. I block them out to the point where I don't even entertain the thought. But this time I didn't block it out, and I began to think about what actually happened. For the first time, and this is the first time I'm talking about this, I haven't even had an opportunity to talk to my husband about this, what happened this morning, because he was reading the book, and I got up, and we have some things that we do on Saturday morning. So we haven't really spent a lot of time talking today. So for the first time, I'm laying in the bed, and I'm in bed, and I'm thinking about the time when I was molested. And I'm thinking about what actually happened. And I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that there was no pain, none. There was no pain affiliated with the total recollection of what happened. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel like, my God, shouting. I just feel like shouting because it lets me know that was God saying to me, daughter, I am able to save to the uttermost. Through Christ, I have released into the earth realm my ability to save to the uttermost. Somebody has to hear me on today. God took away all of the pain that was affiliated with my being molested as a child by someone that I love and trust, loved and trusted at that time, somebody that I really loved and trusted. And normally it is someone that you love and trust that does something because they have to be able to get close to the child. But for the first time, and I, because normally I would cut it off. It would, the memory would try to come, and then the pain would come. I would start feeling that twinge of pain, and I would cut it off. I would not even allow myself to feel the pain. But for the first time, I felt something, a little something, but I realized that was a defense mechanism for me, trying to stop me from even thinking about it. It's like, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. But I thank God that he allowed me to go all the way into that memory, to go all the way in and think about it. And when I thought about it, I was like, wow, God. You know, it almost in my mind, it was like, that wasn't so bad. Now what I was saying, now I get it. What I was saying, I was not saying that the molestation wasn't so bad, that the act wasn't so bad. But what I was saying to God was, looking at that thing, wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. And God was saying, that's because I've healed you. And when I talked about the scripture earlier where God says he's able to save to the uttermost, that word for salvation, that word for save is sozo. And that word means to deliver, to set free, to save from detrimental harm, to save from the repercussions of something. So God was able to save me. My God. When people ask you, are you saved, they're, you know, you have to understand that word saved means more than you're just going to heaven. It actually means that God has delivered you from the grips of Satan. He has delivered you from the impact of any crime that the devil has committed against you. It means that God has delivered you from all pain, past, present, and future, and the repercussions and the association with that pain. When God says he saved you, it means that God has brought you from a place of destruction into a place of rebuilding, into a place of repositioning to where you are now a mighty oak of righteousness, as he talks about in Isaiah 60, where he says you'll be called mighty oaks of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this healing for me, did not come easy. This healing for me came with many years of walking out my faith, walking by faith and not by sight. I feel God so heavily right now. This came from many years of walking by faith and not by sight. As I began to walk by my faith and not by my vision, my physical vision, as I began to walk by what God has said as opposed to what my emotions were saying, as I began to walk by what God requires of me in the form of praise and prayer and meditating on his word and serving him as opposed to what my flesh desired. As I continue to press in towards the things of God and resist the devil, then God was working things out in me and in my life. And he was working things out for my good, my God, as Romans 8:28 says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, the called according to his purpose. Amen. In the middle of it, whatever you're going through, I'm telling you, in the middle of it, he's already working it out. God is working on you. He's working on your emotions. God is working on you. He's healing you day by day. Every day that you walk with the Lord, every day that you make a commitment that on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Every day that you make a declaration that you're going to live for God and that you're not going to live for the devil, every day that you make up your mind that you're going to continue to serve God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, every day that you do this, God is getting the glory out of your life, and he's working things out. You are on the potter's wheel. Keep yourself on the potter's wheel. Keep yourself on the potter's wheel. Don't get off. Don't jump off the potter's wheel and go to the liquor store. Don't jump off the potter's wheel and go to the drug dealer. Don't jump off the potter's wheel and go running to the next man or the next woman that's going to make you feel good. Don't jump off the potter's wheel and go running around leaning on the arm of flesh. It's wanting people to validate you, wanting people to tell you how great you are and to make you feel valuable. Listen to me. I need you to listen to me. People will often disappoint you. People cannot satisfy you. People cannot validate you, nor can they invalidate you. The Bible says, cursed is the man who leans on the arm of flesh. But blessed is the man, blessed is the person, the woman, the man who trusts in the Lord. I'm putting my trust in God. Let me tell you something. During this journey, oh my God, oh, hallelujah, 40 years, my God. My God, my God, my God, my God, hallelujah. During this 40-year journey, oh, my God, Jesus. Excuse me, y'all. I'm feeling something right here. During this 40-year journey, from the time that I was 10 until now, I'm 50 again. During this 40-year journey, I've been through some stuff. Listen, the molestation was just the beginning. You know, it was just the beginning, you know, and you know, I think about my parents and they're drinking and they're fighting. They used to drink and my father used to beat my mom, well, hit my mom, and my mom would hit him back. And they would be fighting and the yelling and the screaming. I would just want to hide, but there was nowhere to hide because there were five of us. And we maybe had a 3-bedroom apartment. So there was nowhere to hide. So I would hide within myself. I would hide within myself. just to block out what was going on outside of myself, if you can relate to that. I would withdraw. They used to think I was shy. I used to be shy and withdrawn. I would withdraw within myself because that was the only way that I could hide myself from what was going on. And I was trying to protect myself. But I thank God that he had already put a hedge of protection around me. Hallelujah. But that was just the beginning. And then the relationships and then the guys who tried to do a gang rape on me. And thank God he spared me from that. And then the boyfriend who really was a child molester because he was 19, 20 years old and I was 14. And then, you know, the boy, I mean, just everything, pain after pain after pain. What's relevant? What's relevant? What's relevant is what happened to you so long ago was the beginning of the attack against your life to try to destroy you. What's relevant was that was the thing that just had you lean over a little bit. You know how somebody hits you and you go, oh, you know, like maybe somebody will hit you, punch you in your stomach, and you grab your stomach and you go, oh, and you bend over, you bend forward a little bit, like, oh, that hurt. You ever seen in boxing where, you know, Mike Tyson might hit Holyfield in the stomach and they go, oh, you know, and they bend over in the stomach because it hurts, you know, or somebody will do something to you and you will feel that thing in your stomach. You'll feel it in your stomach or your emotion, your area of emotions, your heart area, and you'll go, oh, that hurts. And it gets you bent over a little bit. But then somebody will hit you again, and you go, oh, that hurt, and you bend over more. And then they hit you, and then they might kick you in the shin, and you're like, oh. And then you're going down and down and down to the time where you're bent over and you're twisted up from all of the injury that has come your way over the years, starting with that first hit, that first time that the devil sucker punched you. And you end up in a vicious cycle of pain. And it comes everywhere you go. Let me tell you something. It's not by chance that everywhere you go, people are coming against you. It's the anointing that's on your life. My God. It's the purpose that's over your life. My God. Hallelujah. God has such a great, magnificent plan for your life. And the devil has set up demons on assignment to come against your assignment, to come against your purpose, to come against your anointing. Mm. And that's why he keeps hitting you. They keep, you know, the devil will use people. My God, witches and demons and warlocks, witches and demons and warlocks, Jezebel spirits and all kinds of spirits to come and try to annihilate you. Because we fight not against flesh and blood. So we know it's the devil using these people to try to annihilate you, to try to stop you from moving forward to do what God has assigned you to do. And I'm telling you here today that it's time to straighten up. Woman, thou art loose. Man, thou art loose. You don't have to carry this pain anymore. You don't have to walk with this. You don't have to be crippled anymore. Let me tell you something. I believe that, and for years I've testified about the molestation. I've testified about my parents fighting. I've testified about the low self-esteem that I had. I had very low self-esteem. As a matter of fact, I had no self-esteem. You could not look me in the face because I thought I was so ugly. And you know, one thing that I recognize is that even pertaining to my weight, and this is something new that the Lord has shown me because I've gotten the victory in this area too, but even pertaining to my weight, because I was skinny at the time that a lot of this stuff happened to me, I was very thin, I believe that somewhere along the line, I picked up a stronghold in my mind that I did not want to be let me just put it like this. Okay, I was thin. Okay, a lot of stuff. So then, at some point, let me just backtrack on that. I was thin when this happened to me. So then, at some point, I had the baby, and I lost all of that baby weight. So I did. I was carrying myself. But then I began, when I did lose the weight, I was a seductress. Okay, let me tell it right. I became a seductress. I knew that my body was attractive, so I used my body to attract the attention that I thought I needed from men. So I used my body. There was a certain way I dressed. I was very seductive in my dressing, in the way that I dressed. That's why I teach women today, and I'm going to open the phone lines. That's why I teach women today, listen, you can't dress any kind of way. Even though you feel pretty with that on, even though you like it, when your breasts are hanging out or when your skirt is too short, what happens is the men, let me help you. I just want to help you. The men that are looking at you, they're not seeing the sister who's holy, who loves the Lord, who can break open heaven with her prayers. They're looking at your flesh. They're looking at your curves. They're looking at your breasts. They're looking at your legs. They're looking at you. And you might say, well, I'm in church. But let me tell you something. Everybody in the church is not saved. Every brother in the church is not delivered. And I'm telling you, I believe a lot of men don't come to church because they're turned off. Some of them are turned off by the way the women dress in the church. They're saying, I had my brother-in-law tell me, let me just say not even what I believe, but what the man told me. My brother-in-law told me that he went to a New Year's Eve service, Derek Bowie. My brother-in-law told me he went to a New Year's Eve service at a church in Florida. He said, and the women were dressed worse than the women in the club. He said, and he stood there and he looked around, and the church was mostly women. And he said he was surprised that the pastor did not say anything about the way that the women were dressed. He said, man, I could not even concentrate on the sermon. He said, not only that, but I'm married. He said, so I'm there with my wife, and I got to look straight ahead because all this flesh on parade. And this is what he said. He said, I don't understand that, sis. And he doesn't go to church. He's not a regular church goer. This was just one time occasion when he did go to church. He said, I don't understand it. And I understand it. You know, a lot of the times, either we have bought into society, the world's way of dressing. Pastor Anthony's taught on this on Wednesday night. He says the key when you go shopping, they want you to buy their clothes. They want to get their clothes off the rack and on your back. So they will make those clothes look as good as possible on their rack so that you will buy their clothes. They are not making clothes for Christian women today. You have to shop long and hard before you find something that won't be showing too much cleavage, won't be showing too much of your backside. It's a challenge. And then the other thing, a lot of women in the church are still looking for validation. They're looking for somebody to look at them and say, ooh, you look good. You know, oh, wow, you look really good. And men are looking at, even in the church, and then you got to get to the church, so the men in the world are looking at you, and they're looking at you in a sexual manner. And then the third thing is just lack of knowledge. You know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But I'm telling you, as a redeemed seductress, as a woman who knew how to dress to turn every head in the place, I'm telling you that the way you dress does make a difference. Woman or man, the way that you dress, because every woman in the church ain't saved either. You come in there, show me them biceps. I got to train my eyes not to look at you, brother. As you come in there with them tight jeans on, tight pants on, I got to train my eyes. I have to bounce my eyes away from you. And I'm saved as I need to, as I believe I'm saved as I need to be, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And no matter how saved you think you are, be careful. that you don't fall while you think you're standing. Amen. So we resist temptation. We run. Joseph had to run. We run from temptation. Amen. So as a seductress, so I was telling the story about my weight. So then when I got saved, I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to be. I got, you know, got pregnant, had my baby girl 14 years ago. But I believe that subconsciously, even being saved, even being delivered, I held on to the weight. I held on to the weight because I did not want men looking at my body. I'm being honest and saying I was afraid to be. Can I be really, really transparent? I didn't know if I could handle the attention. I didn't know if I was really delivered. I was afraid to be as beautiful as God created me to be, and just being my ideal weight. Just being ideal, just saying drop the pound. So I went into this vicious cycle of eating and not exercising and gaining the weight to the point where I looked at myself a couple of weeks ago and I was like, girl, you are out of control. You need to get that thing together. Amen. So God, what am I saying? God is still delivering us step by step, piece by piece. Don't be afraid to give God your issues of today. Your pain from yesterday has created issues for today. Those are the issues that you need to get back to God. Listen, you want to know, you really want God to deliver you? Be transparent with God and say, God, here I am. Here I am, messed up. Here I am, still got an eye for a handsome guy. Here I am, God, and for the men out there, still like appreciate the look of a good woman. Lord, help me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. When did we stop praying prayers like that? God, let my thought pattern, let what's in my heart be acceptable unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I'm delivered from that too, because you know what? Watch out. The 50s is going to be the best time of my year. I'm no longer afraid of being beautiful. See, there's a fear of rejection, but then there's also a fear of too much acceptance. Well, you're afraid to be everything that God has created you to be. But fear is not from God. Fear is from the devil. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. The phone lines are open. So it was like the woman in the synagogue. Woman, man, thou art loose. Be free from your infirmity. And this is just the beginning. I just want to talk it out. I'm going to give you some keys to victory in the midnight hour. I'm just going to run through them, and then I'm going to take some calls. You can start the call in 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. Let me give you these keys to victory in the midnight hour from my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. One, acknowledge the pain, grief, or anger in your life. Acknowledge that you're hurting. Two, believe that God can change your situation. Three, meditate on the word of God on a regular basis. And I would say on a daily basis. Meditate on the word of God throughout the day. Amen. The next one, five, listen for God's voice. God wants to speak to you. God is still speaking. Amen. Six, obey God's voice. Listen, what's the point of hearing God if you're not going to obey God? When God, you pray, you ask God to take away the pain, God might tell you to forgive somebody. You can't say, oh, no, I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. But God may say, call them and say, I forgive you. And you need to obey God's voice and do whatever God tells you to do. God might tell you to fast. Then you need to go ahead and say, I'm going to go ahead and fast. Amen. The next one is take your eyes off of your circumstances. As you focus on the pain will increase and take over your life. So do not focus on the pain. Take your eyes off of your circumstances and begin to focus on the word of God. That's why you have to continually get that word in so that you can meditate. Meditate means to focus on. It means to repeat the word, utter the word over and over and over. It means to study. It means to memorize the word of God. So take your eyes off of your circumstances and put your focus on the word of God. The next one is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How can you do that? How can I keep my eyes on Jesus? Well, remember Jesus. Remember all that he's done for you. Remember all that he's brought you through. Remember Jesus on the cross. Visualize Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. Visualize Jesus as he walked the earth doing the miracles that he did, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the woman with the issue of blood that said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Visualize Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the next one is ask God to purify your heart. And I talked about that. The minute you ask God to take away the pain, the bitterness, take away the anger, God will take it away. I'm telling you, I remember being so angry with a sister. I walked through my kitchen, and I was walking out of my kitchen, crossing the threshold into my living room, and I said, God, I don't want this anger in my heart. I don't want this bitterness in my heart. Please take it away. And before I could cross the next step, God had taken it away. I'm telling you, God will give you what you ask according to his will. Ask God to purify your heart. The next one, ask God to open your eyes so that you can see what he's trying to show you through this experience. God's not going to allow anything to come on you that you cannot handle. And he's not going to allow anything to happen to you if there's not a reason for it. Amen. So ask God, what is it that you're trying to show me through this? What is it that you're trying to purge from me? What is it that I need to let go of? What's going on in my heart, God? Purify my heart. Clean me. Cleanse me. Hallelujah. And the next one, forgive those who have hurt you. Forgiveness is key. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is key. Your pain is being caused by the fact that you were hurt. And another result of the fact that you were hurt, another emotion associated with that is anger. When you forgive, the anger, the emotions of being hurt, and the pain all have to loose themselves from you. When you forgive, you free yourself. You don't just release the person who hurt you, but now you are releasing yourself from the bondage of pain, hurt, and anger, and bitterness, resentment, all of those emotions, that mishmash of emotions that will come to try to take over your life. Forgive those who have hurt you. No matter how hard you think it is to forgive, it will be more detrimental to you if you don't forgive. Amen. Forgiveness also is a part of obedience. You have been commanded. You have been commanded to forgive. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the next three are pray. Pray for strength. Pray for strength. Ask God to give you strength to make it through this hard time. Pray for God to give you the dunamis, to keep moving forward while he heals you. Pray for strength. Amen. Pray for those who have hurt you. Pray for your enemies. My God, there are two reasons you pray for your enemies. One, because you're, again, being obedient. And the next reason you pray for your enemies, because God says vengeance is mine. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. My God. So when you pray for your enemies, my God, you actually ask God to have mercy. Have mercy, because you don't. It's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. My God, and your enemies, those who fight with you, God will fight with them. And, you know, I hate to think about some of the things that have happened to some of my enemies. You don't even have to worry about people putting their mouths on you or people coming against you or people trying to do witchcraft. God will not let any of these things harm you. None of these things will harm you. None of these things will harm you, but God will deal with those who come against you. He will deal with those who persecute you. God will deal with them. Amen. And you got to pray that God will have some mercy, that God won't kill them. You got to pray that God will have mercy on your enemies. My God, pray for healing. Pray for healing. pray for healing. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And that's a prayer. She was praying in her heart, God, I know you can heal me. And I'm just going to touch the hem of just Jesus' garment. And I know when I touch the hem of your son's garment, I believe that Jesus is your son. And when I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You got to know there is power in prayer. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And the final thing is praise God anyway. Praise him always. Praise him in the midnight hour. And praise him when he brings you out to see the glorious light of a new day. Hallelujah. God wants to heal you, and God is going to heal you. Amen. So receive your healing on today. Amen. Listen, I pray that this hour of power has helped you. I pray that it has helped you to look at what's going on today. And let me just talk about what's going on today. A lot of you are hurt today. Not because of something that happened 20 years ago, not because of something that happened 40 years ago, not because of something that happened 10 years ago, but because of something that happened yesterday or something that happened last week. Some of you are living in a perpetual state of pain. You are living with people that continually hurt you. You have people in your area, people in your circle who constantly hurt you, people that you love. And that past for you is not a past, but a present past. This is something, I mean, I was hurt a couple of days ago. I can't remember. But last week I went through something, and my husband said to me, he said, you know, why do you think these people make you angry? Why do you think they bother you like they do? Why do you think they hurt you? And I said, it's not necessarily anger or anything like that with people, but what it with those individuals, but it's frustration with people. See, it's not that I'm angry with that individual or those individuals. It's just that I'm being transparent. I get frustrated with folk. My prayer is, God, help me to deal with people. Help me not to get disillusioned. Help me not to get frustrated. Help me not to throw up my hands and say, forget them. Just forget them. You know, and I thank God that he answers that prayer, because that's my life. My life is to help people, but I'm telling you, I need prayer sometimes, you know, and because you have expectations of people. You don't expect people to still be acting like that after you've already forgiven them once. Come on, who am I talking to? You've already forgiven him. You've already forgiven her. And they're still acting like a fool. They're still acting like they don't know how to treat you. They're still acting like they don't have good sense. And you have certain expectations of people that they will know how to treat you. They will know what to do when it comes to you. But people still act like they don't know. People still drop the ball. People still come against you. People still disappoint you. And let me tell you something. And I'm waiting for you guys to call in, because I want to let your voice be heard. People, let me tell you this. People are people wherever you go. And people have issues. People have issues. You have issues. I have issues. These people that are hurting you, they got issues. Some of the issues are bigger than yours. Some of your issues are bigger than mine. Some of my issues are bigger than yours. But people have issues. That's issues. That's why God gives us grace. Because who else but God is more frustrated with us? I mean, with people. If God isn't frustrated with people, my God. I mean, people have issues. We have issues, and we need to be patient with folk. But at the same time, we need to communicate. If you have somebody in your life that's hurting you, yes, forgive them. But also, you need to communicate with that person. Amen. We have a caller. Amen. You need to communicate with that person and say, look, you're hurting me. Amen. Hallelujah. And we need some resolution, because I'm not going to let you keep hurting me. Amen. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to the show today.
God bless you. God bless you, Pastor. Prophetess Rebecca, I'm listening to what you were saying, and I enjoy ministry that you have ministered to us so far. You touched on so many pivotal points. But I wanted to add, because recently, and I'm experiencing, I'm seeing this very, very heavy in the body of Christ, that yes, it's legitimate issues, but they're only designed to get us off focus and distract from focus on what God wants to do and take it. So the devil's weapon that he's using now is distraction. Like you were saying, the person that whatever they did to you or against you, yes, it is a legitimate issue, but we can't allow that to be our focus, because if we're focusing on something other than what our assignment is, then God can have his way in our life. And I'm seeing that around the body. That's one of the biggest.
Wait a minute. Apostle, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, let me test through a test. Pastor Anthony?
Amen, yes.
I just, God bless you. Just say good, God bless you, and I want to test your line.
Amen, to God be the glory. It's just a powerful broadcast today. I also heard the feedback from Pastor Amica's communication, so I don't know if you can hear me clearly.
Yeah, you're coming through clear. Apostle, you're saying something good, and I could barely hear you because you're breaking up.
Okay, I'm in the car.
Okay, you sound better now.
Okay, I do. Okay. You're moving 5-3 feet up. Thank God. But what I was saying is, what the enemy is doing in the body of Christ right now is distraction. His weapon of choice right now is to distract the saints, to get us off focus on what God would have us to be focused on. And that's the problem. I've been getting calls all, and I've seen it. People, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a legitimate issue, but why are you more focused on that than what God would have you to be focused on?
Right.
Then these things, these minor things, that are distractions to stop you, because to those of us that's listening, God is about to take the body of Christ into another dimension, and this is going to be awesome. But watch this, he can't take us if we're not focused and paying attention to what he's doing. You'll miss the boat. You'll miss the boat. He's got us. We have to remember, whatever's going on, God got us. God got us. He got him. I see him. He say, watch this. He say, I know your thoughts are far off. So before you take them, so he says that, you know, I was reading the scripture the other night, says, woe to those that dream up devices in their beds and then rise up in the morning and carry them out. That's not good. That's not good. So God, don't worry about your enemy. Don't worry about that one. Hey, just like you said earlier, pray for them. Pray the Lord have mercy on us.
Yeah. That's good. And, you know, you're right. I agree with that. The Lord is definitely dealing with the body, and he's ready to take the body to another realm in him. And the unfortunate part about that is that the body can't go until the body is healed. You know, we have to get healed. And because, you know, we are the body. I mean, in other words, we can't say he's going to take some of us and then some of us won't get there, because we're all one body, you know. So if he leaves a part of the body here and he takes the other body to the other Help me out with that. How can we go? How can some of us go and leave others behind? I know Left Behind was the movie, but I'm talking about those of us who truly believe God and love God. There are so many people, Apostle, who love God. I mean, they love God, but they are hurting. They are not just hurting because of, like I said, just something that happened a long time ago, but they are being inflicted with pain, of course, from the devil who's using people. So really people are hurting them, and not only just people, but people in the church. And not just people in the church, but leaders are inflicting this hurt upon people. And can we really just say get over it and keep moving? Can we really say don't worry about it, you know, just keep trusting God? Or do we need to find a way to reach the people and minister in this area? In other words, you could come to me and tell me in a service, I could sit up in a service and I'm hurting. Maybe somebody just left my church, not left my church, but maybe somebody left the church and I had spent a lot of time with this person. Let's put it where I am. A lot of time with this person. I spent money on this person, took this person out, sat down, spent all my time ministering to this person, and thought this person was somebody like family. And this person goes out and says, you know, I'm leaving the church, stands up, I'm out of here, leaves in the middle of a service, and then begins to blaspheme my name, and then begins to pull other people out of the church. And then this person, now anytime they see me, even though I try to walk in love, they will ignore me. And this is just a scenario. This hasn't happened. But something like that, now I'm crushed, but I'm trying to deal with it. And if I go into a service and I hear somebody say, well, God is getting ready to shift us and we're going into another dimension, but I'm feeling stuck at that moment. You know, what, and I'm sitting there, and if God does not minister to me in that moment, now I have left that service the same way that I came in there. So, and I think a lot of this is happening now, that we're so now telling the people where God is taking us, but so many people are stuck at where they have found themselves. They have not allowed themselves, not that God hasn't been able to, but they have not allowed themselves for some reason, or they have not found themselves getting free from that thing. What do we do? I mean, especially as leaders, what do we do for that group of people that seem to be getting left behind?
Okay, I have a question. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, Apostle? Amen. Sounds like we have a bad connection. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm here. I'm sorry. Hello?
Yes. You have a question. Amen.
Yes. The question is, am I my brother's keeper?
Yes.
Am I my brother's keeper? And
yes.
You said it. Because watch this. The next dimension entails not only the blessing, but the influx and the incoming of the harvest. Now people are coming, and they're going to come, but they're also coming with their issues, and we got to know how to minister to them effectively in their issues. And God has given us time now to perfect that which concerneth us, perfect our selves. So now I need to learn how to minister in that area so that when the harvest comes, we can minister to them effectively. I'm saying to a lot of ministries and a lot of people now is that Jesus said that your fruit, you must go and bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, but good fruit. But then watch what he said, that you should bear, that your fruit should remain.
Yes.
Not just have fruit, but that the person come in and give their life to the Lord today, and 6 months down the road, they're still here. And God is step by step, process by process, piece by piece, is edifying that person. But if we don't know how to minister to them effectively, then because watch this, like you said, we don't know how to minister each other effectively. How can we minister to them? We have not sat down and let the Holy Ghost, ask the Holy Ghost, teach us. Teach me how to minister to my brother, how to minister to my sister. I see she's going through, and the person may have stopped and talked to me about what's going on in their life. Now, tell me, Lord, what can I do so that I can minister to them effectively? That they can be delivered in this hour. In this hour. We need to start in the house. God can't send folks in because the house is not ready.
Wow.
Like you said, we are walking around with issues and struggles and upset and mad and what have you. Just not to say that you know, I'm just naming a few. People, these are what's going on. You're unforgiving. You're hateful. You there's all kinds of issues in the church today. And God does, you can't, for the church to minister to the people in their needs, the church has to first be delivered.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's good. That's good, sir. Yeah, that's it. And that's why I believe the Lord put this on my heart today, because it's on his heart. It's on his heart that God sent his son so that he loved the world so much. God loved the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so those of us who would believe on him would not perish, but we will have eternal life. And that not just being about I'm getting to heaven, but that also means that I will have a good life here on earth. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm set free from anything that the devil has thrown my way. I'm truly set free, delivered. And I think that we, as the pulpiteers, not just pastors, but everybody who preaches, have gotten caught up in the fanfare of having great sermons and having churches full of people and having our names be made great, that we are neglecting a remnant of people, the very people that Jesus came for. I believe that they are being pushed in the corner in a lot of ministries, and that's why our ministries are starting to look different. You don't have the single mother in the ministry with her babies. You don't have the drug-addicted young man who's struggling and fighting for his life. You don't have, you know, our ministries are beginning to look too pristine, too clean, and you don't have the homeless person coming in off the street smelling like urine to take a seat in the house of God. And then we don't have enough, and I think that's because a lot of our churches, we don't have enough power. The Holy Ghost is not present in our midst to pull the people in. So I don't know. Pastor Emily, Apostle Amica just dropped. I don't know if you had anything to say about that.
I have so much to say about it. It's so powerful what you opened the show with today. Many people are hurting and not really healed. We spoke a word on Wednesday that the law of sin and death, Romans 8:1-2, is always at work. So thereby, the devil's always trying to destroy people's potential ministry, trying to destroy their assignment and guide, trying to, as Pastor Amica said, distract us from doing what God has called us to do. But, Pastor, I'm so glad you shared some of your personal story today, because we got to realize as people there's a certain grace put upon all of us. And in spite of what you and I have endured over the years, even from becoming Christians and disciples of Christ to the pastorate, there's a certain grace given to us by God. And I was sharing with you today how God helps us with our anger, helps us with our frustration, helps us when we want to give up and quit on God. And many people have allowed the warfare, if you will, to push them away from God, to push them away from church, to separate them from the very thing that can help them. And we got to realize that in spite of the warfare, in spite of the people that persecute us or come against us, in spite of the ones that we trust and continue to disappoint us, we got to go to our help, which comes from God. And you made it so beautifully an illustration today with your own life as far as having a church, writing books, speaking, doing women's ministry, doing ministry overall. You made it so evident that there's a grace upon your life that God has given you to operate in. That's why you can always walk in love. That's why you can always get around back to walking in forgiveness. That's why you always can say, Lord, help me with this. Let remove this particular anger for this particular sister off of my life. And he does it because there's a grace given to you. And as you said, some stuff has been decades ago and some stuff has been recent, but whether decades or just last week, some people can't shake what the devil has put into their life. But I'm here to tell you, as I told our church on Wednesday, Peter and James said, at the name of Jesus, be free. At the name of Jesus, be loose. At the name and the power and authority of Jesus, get your praise back. Get your joy back. Go back and do your assignment. Because there is power in the name.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug dealer, the one that's trying to re-enter from prison into society, the ones that's trying to restore their marriages, ain't nothing happening without the name. They're not going to come to our church because Christians want to be entertained. The world ain't trying to be entertained. They're trying to be set free from their infirmity. So they're not going to come into a church that's entertaining. They may visit you, but trust me, they're not coming back. When they see you running, they see you shouting, there's no sound preaching, there's no sound doctrine coming across that pulpit. We got one message to reach that visitor. And if we don't reach them with that one sermon, if we don't reach them with that one word, they're not trying to come back there. And that's what they're saying. People, if they see they can't get delivered from cigarettes, they can't get delivered from sleeping around, they can't get delivered from their anger, your God can't help them at that point. And what you're saying is that we're not giving the people the same God that people gave us when we were down and out.
Wow.
I'm so glad that somebody had a real God to offer me when I was sleeping around. I'm so glad they gave me a real God when I was sniffing coke and smoking marijuana and drinking, when I was a liar and a deceiver. I'm so glad that a man of God, a church of God, gave me a real God that could help me with some real problems. And unfortunately today, we're not offering people that God that we were offered. Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
Somebody right now, Holy Ghost. And I pray that your creation is one of those churches that we're sensitive to the move of God. And I know there are other churches aside from ours that really want to yield and say, God, have your way.
Mm.
Have your way. And that's why you come on these airways. Not with a formula or solution, a do-all to people's problems, but you and I are determined to point people to Jesus. We're so determined to get people to the real God. That's why it can't be about you. And one of the main things that's going on in the body of Christ, without proper preparation, people are stepping out in the fivefold ministry, people are stepping out trying to do their assignment prematurely. Now that grace that should be on them, they're getting divorced. That grace should be on them, they're somewhere sitting depressed. That grace that should be on them, they don't no longer have joy. Although they're preaching, although they're operating in the fivefold ministry, they have no joy. It's coming out of their spirit as they preach and teach that the same God they're preaching to us about, it looks like he ain't helping them. So now people are trying to do ministry, as you said at the outset of your show, but they're not really healed. You're bleeding all over the place. You're still hurting. You're not free yourself, but yet you're trying to help me and free me up, and you don't even know the way yourself sometimes. And that's what God is saying. I need to minister to you first, that you can minister out of your overflow, out of your abundance, out of new revelation from me, because people need an answer today to their problems. Pastor Rebecca, Apostle Amica, life is coming at people so hard and so heavy in this hour. And as you said, Pastor, so many are getting so frustrated to the point of even wanting to quit. But that devil is a liar.
Wow. Amen. Amen. And Pastor Emily, that's powerful what you just said. And I think Pastor Amica has joined us again. But I think before I say this, also, I want everybody to know that's listening, the phone lines are opening. You can, as Apostle Amica likes to say, you can get a piece of this. Call in and let your voice be heard, 646-652-4832. Call in and talk to us within this next last 35 minutes that we have to be on the air. I want to welcome Ms. Quiet Storm and also Hershey Kiss and also our guests to the chat room. God bless you, and to all of those who are tuning in by way of phone. I'm telling you, God is he's speaking up in today. And Pastor Emily, you said something about an Apostle Emma come and move and let you in too. But Apostle and Pastor Emily said something about fivefold ministry, how people are stepping into the fivefold ministry gifts and they're not prepared to do that. And that's one thought that was on my mind, that we are not just for new people who are stepping into ministry, but for those of us who are already in ministry. I think that there's a spirit of distraction, yes, Apostle, that's taken over the church to the point that we have been distracted by the crowds and distracted by great preachers. You know, I read something yesterday that somebody said, yeah, I have a ability to get the greatest preachers in America together. And I'm like, greatest preachers? Wow. You know, I Lord, help me not to want to be one of your greatest preachers. You know, help me not to want to aspire for greatness in my flesh, you know, but help me to be effective for kingdom building. I'm nothing without Jesus. I am nothing without Jesus. But I think what's happening is that we are being distracted by visions of grandeur, and that we have become as pulpiteers, as those who grace the pulpit, we have become more consumed and more preoccupied with our ministry. And even not for those who preach, but those of you out there who have ministries, we have become so consumed and preoccupied with the ministry, with doing the ministry, that we have forgotten Jesus. And we have forgotten the very people. We don't even have the heart that we need to have for the people that we are sent to minister to. That we can't be effective. And I say we overall, and then because I'm not exempt. You know, I've had moments when I wanted to be this great preacher and I wanted to wow the audience. And God is saying, no. How many souls got saved? How many lives got changed? Or did you just get patted on the back and told that you did a great job? Don't tell me. I used to say this a long time, Apostle Amica, and I stopped saying it. But I'm saying it again today, and he dropped off again. But I used to say this a long time ago for those of you who are listening. I stopped saying it, and I'm saying it again today. Don't tell me how great I preached. Don't tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me that you heard God. Tell me that you felt God. Tell me that God changed something in you. That's my prayer. And I'm going to give it back over to Apostle Amica, who's joined us again. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm having the worst time here with my reception, but I just heard you say something that is pivotal. That is the truth. We are so, some of us are so busy, concerned about how we look, and we're not concerned about who is looking at us. In other words, the ones that we are preaching to, we're more worried about how many appointments we can get, but you're not preaching to the effectiveness of the souls that are listening, the people that are listening. They're hurting. I was telling someone yesterday, I have had to deal with some horrendous situations for the last 7 months, and had to preach. Go and preach and minister, because God says, I'm sending them to you because they need to hear a word. They need to hear a word, but they're not interested in what's going on in your life. Preacher, I didn't come to hear what's going on and what's going on and how stuff going on. I need to hear a word from God.
Jesus.
And we got to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that we put us aside. Put our feelings, put our thoughts, put all of us, put us aside. Erase Stephen. Erase Pastor Anthony. Erase Prophetess Rebecca. Okay. Watch this. This is what y'all say. But what people say, let me say it like that. This is what people say. I decrease that he may increase.
Oh.
Are you really decreasing that God increase? Because hide me behind the cross. So that they don't see me, but they see you. Are you really doing that? Are you really doing that? Or are you becoming the cross? Are you becoming the answer to the people's problems? And you are not. You're not. We can't answer nobody's problems.
Right.
It has to be God. It has to be God that heals, delivers, and saves and sets free. Because if it's not, then it's only a temporary fix.
Wow.
It's just a Band-Aid. Wow. Just a Band-Aid, but we want the people to be delivered. And like I said earlier, that our fruit, not just bear fruit, and not just bear good fruit, but that our fruit remain. So then when you see that person that you minister to at their church 6 months down the road, are you still healed? Yes. Are you still delivered? Yes. Are you still saved? Yes. Are you still walking in the promises of God? Yes.
Wow.
Not that I have went back and I fell and this. I mean, there's some things, yes, that is the other person's fault, but did you do, while you were there, everything possible in your strength to minister to that person's needs?
Yeah.
And that's what we're forgetting to do.
Yeah, and God wants
neglect.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what you said, to minister to the person's need, and that just takes us all the way back, full circle, to dealing with the pain of the past, the past, so that you could deal with the past of the present past. Like you said, you went through a lot in this past season, and you still had to go out and minister. Now, help us now, because you had, obviously, some of this stuff cost you pain, and just let us know, how did you deal with the fact that you were dealing with these hurts? You know, how did you get delivered from the grips of the emotional pain that was affiliated with the experience that you were going through? Just help us out with that.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out, but it's simple. Stay focused.
Yeah.
Stay focused. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on what watch this. Do you really trust God? See, our problem is we think that we have to fix it. You don't have to fix it. I trust God. I trust God enough that, hey, here it is. You deal with it. I got to keep focused. I got to do what you tell me to do. I got to go out here and minister to these people. I got to go out here. So, I see it, but I'm not going to stay there and pay attention to it.
Wow.
I'm not gonna allow it to take root in me that now I am distracted by what's going on. Oh my God. But the whole thing is stay focused. Don't. I told you earlier. I said the weapon of choice of the devil today is distraction.
Distraction. Yeah.
That's the weapon of choice. And if he can keep us distracted, then we can okay, like I heard somebody say the other night, you don't drive looking at the rearview mirror. You can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Got to look ahead. What did God say? He said, I will supply all of your needs. Okay, so you need me to deliver you? Okay, I'll supply deliverance. You need me to heal you? I'll supply. Not just money, but I'll supply all of your needs, whatever your need is. I'll take care of your enemy. don't worry about it. Don't go out there. Don't even call them. Don't touch them. Don't talk to them. Don't say nothing. Hey, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Keep moving. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Trust God. He'll do it. I'm a living witness. I just come out of 7 months. 7 whole months. From November, or rather, first of November until just recently, a couple of days ago. I had to go through a whole process, a whole season of things to distract me. And I mean, these were things that if I let it, it would have really got my attention. But I had to stay focused. And the Lord said, stay focused. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on me. Keep looking towards me. I'll take care of it. Take my business. I'll take care of your business. We say that, but do you believe it?
Do we really believe it? That's good. Pastor Emily, what was that scripture you gave us the other night? As it is written.
So we believe, so we speak.
Paul
talked about that when he said we have this treasure, this ministry in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And he went on how to say we're pressed on every side, we're troubled, persecuted, but we're not destroyed, we're not cast down. And he concludes with, it is written, we believe, so we speak. And we just got to, again, we can't say what we think, we can't say what we feel, we got to say what he said. Hallelujah.
There you go.
My God. Let me just intercede. Not only that, but both of you are making an excellent point that it is not, I'm just saying it out of my mouth. It's written and I'm saying it. That's how a lot of people are applying the word. But no, it's written. I have sown that word into my heart. I believe that word. And therefore, out of the overflow of my heart, my mouth speaks what that word says. So you see, we can only be saved, we can only be delivered by believing with what? A heart. So if it never gets down to your heart, you're not going to be able to believe God for total healing from that pain, from that thing that has hurt you. And God, I'm going to say it again, God wants us healed. God wants you healed. For those of you who are listening out there to us on today, you know, we've come the long way. Though I spent the whole hour on the front end talking about past pain and healing and gave some testimony, and these two men of God are being so gracious as to help me out here to say that man or woman, no matter what's going on with you, God is able. God is able. You have to, Apostle Erica said it, you have to trust God. Pastor Anthony said you have to believe and confess that word. You have to know that you know that God not only can do it, but he will do it. And if you give it to him, it says cast all your cares on Jesus. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And I think I want to challenge you who are listening. I want to challenge you to not just be hearers of the word and not just be echoes of the Bible. Don't just spurt it out of your mouth, but believe this word. Believe this word. I mean, get it in your heart and believe it. Don't go for who can hoop the best, who can jump and turn and twist and squall. But listen to sound teaching. Listen to sound doctrine. Don't go and get caught into that distraction of entertainment that has seeped into our churches. But find yourself positioned under sound doctrine that's being preached, that's being taught. I don't care how they preach it or teach it, as long as they teach it, amen, and preach it and declare what thus says the Lord, because the devil wants to come against what was happening is the devil's coming against that word of the word of God. The devil wants the word. The persecution comes for the word's sake. And God is saying today he wants us to be loose, and that word, the word is what's going to set you free. As that word comes in, as the anointing comes in, there's an anointing that comes with the word that destroys every yoke.
There you go. That's it. The Bible says, if I may interject, get a little piece of that too, prophetess, the Bible says, count it all joy. How could you tell me to count it all joy? doubts, tribulation, and trials, and tests, and things. He said, count it all joy. And then another scripture says, we are to be honored. I'm paraphrasing, but it says that we are to be honored that God will allow us to go through these tests and trials. There's something that God sees in us, and what he sees in us, he's trying to bring it forth. That's why you go through. Watch this. Stop praying to God about taking you out of what he clearly put you into.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You tell him, get me out of this. He said, no, I put you here. I put you into this. How could you put me? Because I want you to do what I promised you to be. Lord, okay, here's this situation. Here's this trial. Here's this opportunity for you to teach me and show me what you want me to learn. God is not a mean old man. He's a loving God, but he's trying to show us strength. And he said, I will perfect that which concerns you.
Wow.
Okay, so then let me go back. Count it all joy. What that means is, count it joy when you go through these trials and temptations and what have you, and you handle it right. That's what we count joy. Lord, I learned. I handle this right. I handle it, like you said, according to your word. The pastor Anthony says, work the word, and the word will work for you. If you work the word, though, you got to work that. We got to know that word, and you got to work that, and it'll work for you.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good. And God is he's still able. We serve a living God. He's
yes,
a living God. And God does not want to leave us in a place where we are hurting. But God will allow you to stay in that place in order to bring you to a position of humility, a position of perfection, which is maturity in him, to a position of faith, and to a position of trust, which is all wrapped up in him bringing you to a place of relationship. God loves us so much. And that love is about really being expressed. He expresses that love and has continually expressed that love. But God wants us to seek first our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that place where your relationship with God is so tight, where it's tighter than your mother's, the relationship with your mother, and tighter than the relationship with your father, and tighter than the relationship with your wife or your husband, and tighter than the relationship with the people that you work with every day, your friends. But when it's so tight, then that relationship begins to form a hedge around you, where nothing can penetrate. Where God begins, he will begin to purge your heart. And that's really what this whole broadcast has been about. Where God begins to purify your heart, he begins to pluck out that root of bitterness, that root of pain, that root of disappointment that the devil set up in your heart when you first got hurt. And then all of that seaweed began to develop around the root. And that, so that the springs of living water could not flow freely, enabled for the anointing for wholeness to be manifested in your life. And God is saying, today, let the word in, let me in. I stand at the door and knock. I want not just to be a God of provision and not just a God of miracles and not just a God of meeting your needs and answering your prayers, but I want to be a God of relationship. I want to walk with you and talk with you. And, you know, God wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his people. He talks about that all through the Bible, the Old Testament, and he has not changed his mind. So, and he wants us whole. Like, that's why Jesus, he healed that woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, because
that's God's desire, that he wants us whole. He wants you whole. It's not about what man wants. Forget people. They don't like you. They're coming against you. They're not treating you right. Don't let people any longer control your emotions, because your emotions will control your destiny. Don't let people control your emotions. Like Apostle said, put your mind on Jesus. Amen. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Keep your focus. We have 15 minutes left, 16 minutes left. The phone lines are still open, 646-652-4832. I have to, because I know Pastor Emily has something good for us, make room for our marriage moments. So, Pastor Emily, I'm giving you the floor, and then prayerfully, if there's time, we'll continue talking. And you call in. If you're already on the line, press 1. We'll put you on the air. Pastor Emily, I'm giving it over to you. Because we need to, I know God wants to speak into our marriages, even as we're talking about pain and hurt.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to read a few verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, New International Version of the Bible. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to read a couple more verses and make these 3 points very quickly. Because of the hardening of their hearts, the Bible says this precedes, obviously, Ephesians chapter 5, submitting one to another. Husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, reverence your husbands. Paul precedes that fifth chapter with this, telling us not to walk as the Gentiles do in their thinking. We need to realize that the hardening of our hearts. Pastor Rick, I thank you for this show today, because life can get you to a place where you harden yourself. No longer is anybody going to hurt me. No longer am I going to let anything penetrate me. No longer am I going to leave myself open or vulnerable. And sometimes we even do that in our marriages. We got to walk in love. We got to walk in forgiveness. But if you get to the place where you're stubborn, you're prideful, you're hardening your heart under your roof, where the Bible clearly says, amen, live with one another in understanding. Sometimes in marriages, where we're walking around and we're letting the enemy get in, and we're hardening, we're letting the enemy get in, and instead of softening our hearts, being sensitive toward one another, loving each other, trying to understand our spouse, we let the enemy get in, and we harden our hearts toward each other. Let me just prepare you today. Don't let that happen. All around us here in the state of New Jersey, my wife and I see it. Life is handing people a hard hand. I mean, major businesses are shutting down. Major things are going on in the world. People are losing jobs. People are losing homes. Ministries are shutting down. But don't let the outward stuff that your spouse is dealing with, or the stuff that we all have to deal with, don't let that harden your heart. You and your wife, you and your husband, stay as a unit fighting this battle together, because two are better than one. When you got each other back, it's going to be all right. So don't let life get you to the place where you're hardening your heart toward each other. My wife and I tell you, aside from each other, we have an extended family that we both got to minister to on a continual. Not only that, we have spiritual sons and daughters. We have spiritual children. We have biological children. We have an extended family that's our blood relatives. And with all that said, sometimes there are outer forces that impact us. And if you're not careful, you'll be looking at some things that your spouse is going through, and you'll look at it in your carnal mind instead of your spiritual mind, and allow what they're dealing with to become a hindrance in your marriage. Do not let that happen. So point number one, remain sensitive and soften your heart toward each other. Very quickly, verse 20, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You who, however, did not get to know Christ this way, surely you heard of him. And he goes on to say, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. He goes on to say, it's the positive attitude that we keep. It's the godly attitude that we keep. It is the attitude that we keep that allows us to move forward, even beyond what we're dealing with, even beyond what you're facing. Because if you keep the right attitude, in spite of what you're going through in your marriage, there's a brighter tomorrow. Your latter day shall be greater. That's why we got to be willing to change in our marriages. You can't be set in your old ways. He goes on to say with those next few verses, put on the new man. Put on the new woman. Don't do the old behavior anymore. Sometimes the pressure of life can get to you in such a way, as Pastor Rebecca said, you want to pick up a drink. You want to go back to the comforts you used to run back to. Now, we don't have to go to that Delilah or Jezebel spirit. We can go right to the internet. That is a social network. You can find a chat room. You can find somebody to vent with. You can go in that technology and find an outlet. And sometimes God is saying, no, sit down with your wife. Sit down with your husband. Face this hard issue in your marriage and get it resolved. Sometimes he's saying, don't run to that internet. I was listening to a workshop on marriage the other day, and he laid out about 10 reasons why divorce lawyers and divorce institutions know why people are getting divorced today. And about 5 he cited was through the internet, chat room. I met somebody online. I had an affair, and it got birth with me meeting somebody online. I'm going to this group online. And God is saying, you must use the medium of technology wisely. We know some couples that met socially on the internet. We know it can be a wonderful tool, but you've got to use it in a wise way. Don't let that internet, don't let that technology get between you and your husband, because it's hard to cuddle up with a laptop. Come on, somebody, y'all help me. It's hard to go to bed with an iPad. Hallelujah. It's hard to get warm with 2 lie together. The Bible says there shall be heat. But I want my wife in bed with me. I need my husband, if you're a woman, in bed with you. I don't want them in bed mad either. So don't allow that. And finally, the Bible goes on to say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He ends these few verses. Don't give the devil a foothold. And let him who still no more. Listen. We're going to get angry with each other. My wife and I know a couple, and I don't know if they're lying to us or not, but they've been married for quite a while now, I think about 10 years or so, and they don't get mad at each other. And somehow it continues to raise a red flag in my spirit, because I kind of know some of the inner insight on this marriage, that the husband pretty much gives the wife what she wants. Whatever she wants, I'm easy to please. I just want her happy. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, well, what about what you want, man of God? Well, what about you being pleased sometimes? What about you having your way sometimes? I know men maybe had his meeting with the woman, but what about what you want sometimes? And sometimes we got to be real with ourselves. That's why the Bible says submitting one to another. Don't let the anger, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Let him who still no more. And it also says, amen, that we got to be kind, sensitive one to another. So that's my marriage moment today. You can divorce-proof your marriage if you apply these things. So don't get divorced through technology. And don't lie to yourself saying you don't have any needs or any wants of your own. And don't be like the Gentile, the way you used to think before you became a Christian. You got to change the way you think. Amen? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen, hallelujah. That is powerful. And, you know, you have to be aware that the internet does present a threat to our marriages. And we have someone in the chat room said they're going through some stuff, nothing to do with the internet, though, but they are going through some deep things in their marriage. And I want to encourage you, just hold on and keep trusting God. Take the points and apply them to your marriage. Don't harden your heart. Don't let the internet be a door, because even with problems that we're having in our marriage that are not caused by the internet. Sometimes we can use the internet to be an outlet, and the devil is lurking there by way of a chat room or by way of an internet Facebook friend, someone who we allow to get close, and that person can become your confidant other than your spouse, and now you're closer to somebody on the internet than you are with your spouse because you were already having problems in marriage. That's why when we talk about marriage and teach on marriage, we teach about boundaries, that if you're a male, your best friend cannot be a female. And if you're a female and you're married, your best friend cannot be a man who's not your husband. Pastor Anthony and I are best friends with each other. We choose to have it that way. We choose to have it that way because it keeps us knitted on one accord, and it protects our marriage. And and it's a beautiful relationship. We were best friends before we got married, and we have been able to maintain that. I was telling the person in the chat room that we had some problems early in our marriage. We both wanted to get rid of each other, not to kill each other necessarily, but to divorce maybe. But we knew from the beginning that divorce was not an option for us. So we fought through it, and I'm encouraging you and anybody else who's having problems in their marriage, fight through that thing. You know, fight through it, work it out. Do the best that you can. Let God do the rest. Work on yourself and let God make you the best person that you need to be. And then pray for your spouse, that God will work on your spouse. God can do it. We have a caller. Area code 617, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Do you like chicken?
God bless you. God, did you just call me chicken? Amen. God bless you. I had to laugh at that. God bless you, whoever that was. Amen. But let the Lord work on you. Take the speck out of your eye and then allow the Lord and pray for the Lord to deal with. Take the boulder out of your eye or the speck, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your issues are. And then ask the Lord to deal with your spouse. As you become the best person that you can be, that's the least you can do, that no matter what happens in the end, you will have benefited even from being in that marriage, you know, and God can save that marriage. God can do it. He can do all things. It takes two to make a marriage. So even sometimes marriage counseling, a lot of people don't like to hear those two words put together, but we believe in marriage counseling. And work it out. Work it out and pray, and then leave it in God's hands. Leave the results to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We only have three more minutes. Pastor Emily, I don't know if you have anything to say about that. Apostle Emeka is still with us, too.
No, it's so powerful, as you said. We got security on our new vehicles. We got low jack. We got high-tech securities on our home. We need to invest that much in our marriages and in our children. We can't allow the enemy to have our children or our marriages, because this generational curse got to be broken. So many kids are impacted, not a father in the home. When the mother, or they see a dysfunctional marriage, like you said, violence or a dysfunctional marriage before them, and it goes down throughout the generation. So God is calling us in this hour to be leaders. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, and again, the person in chat room, I'm not naming any names, talked about their issue being sex. And we're going to spend a whole broadcast on that. So stay tuned when we'll be talking about sex and marriage and how to keep the marriage bed hot. You know, we definitely need to deal with that. We only have two more minutes, so we definitely can't deal with that right now. But God can deal with that, too. God can do the sex. If it was once good to you and your spouse, God can turn that thing around. Whatever distractions the devil has put in place, we can get it to the point. God can get it to the point, and you and your spouse working together can get it to the point where you can both say it's still good to us. Amen. Even all these years later, you can come through this one. Nothing is too hard for God, and nothing, not even that not even the XEX. That's not too hard for God. He can bring the spark back and turn on the fire all over again. So there's hope. So stay tuned. We're going to do that broadcast, but we're out of time today. Apostle Amica, I'm going to give you some closing words, and we're off the air. Tune in on Tuesday's night for our prayer, and then Wednesday we have a noonday service right here, blogtalkradio.com/power. So tune in at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Apostle Amica.
Yes. Yes. Stay focused.
Yeah.
Keep your attention on what God's instructions and what your assignment is. Stay focused, and God will handle the rest. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. And God bless you. Thank you, Hershey Kiss. Great show, wonderful word. Thank you. To God be the glory. We are only servants. God bless you to everybody in the chat room. It's Quiet Storm. Good to see you. Those of you on the phone lines, Ray and Kathy Jones, God bless you. And all of those who have tuned in, Evangelist Finney, Sister Tina, God bless you all. Amen. We're off the air, going off the air now. But look, I want you to know today that God loves you. He wants you healed. Receive the word. If you miss anything, go back and listen to the archive. The first hour, I really gave some instruction on getting healed and even the dialogue. If you could re-listen to it, God will put things back into the proper perspective and help you get healed. Buy my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. If you haven't read it, it will bless you. And no, look, go to church. Go to church tomorrow. Don't let the devil stop you from going to church. Go to church. Show up and put your foot on the devil's head, because his best secret is to keep you from going to church. Go to church, not necessarily for you, but for God. We owe God to go into his house and to worship him on the first day of the week, just like the church did in the book of Acts. So God bless you. Know that we love you. Be healed. Woman, thou art loose. Man, thou art loose. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. This is Nakia Scott, NYKEA Scott, and she's singing your praise. God bless you. It's 301. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Almighty God, you are holy, so strong and mighty. You died and rose again with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high and above, capture my heart and adore me with your love. Captivated by you, oh Lord, you are my one. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, most holy one. You are my friend and King, my Savior, Lord, most holy. All power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high in the cloud, captivated by you. I was forever.